Council, ready to proceed?
May it please the court. Chief Justice Steele, Justice Holland, and Justice Jacobs, my name is Larry Kimmel. I represent the appellant, Jonathan Lewicki. I'd first like to acknowledge my co-counsel, Thomas Roman. Your Honors, may I save 5 minutes for rebuttal?
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor. As you know, this is an issue whether Officer Lewicki's injuries arose out of and in the course of his employment when he was eating a hamburger bit or a hamburger on his job in his police with Newcastle County. The first element, these are two separate elements. The first one, of course, is arising out of your employment. The second is within the course and scope of your employment. I'm going to quickly address the second element, and that's in the course and scope of his employment, and then quickly put that to rest. It's very clear that Officer Lewicki was in the course and scope of his employment when he was injured. He's in his police car, he's doing police work, he's on his computer, and even the opposing counsel has agreed that he was in his police car.
Well, Mr. Kimmel, let me help you out a minute.
Sure.
What's, I think, of concern, at least to me, if not to the entire panel, is the scope of the personal comfort doctrine as it was applied in Bedwell. How does that affect your...
Certainly, Your Honor. The personal comfort doctrine is already well-settled law in Delaware. It's in the Bedwell case, Bedwell versus Brandywine Carpet Cleaners. It's also in a separate case as well, Stevens versus State of Delaware. And the personal comfort doctrine, and it's quoted in Bedwell, as acts which minister to the traveling employee's personal comfort are reasonably related to the employer's business. It's also mentioned in Larson's workers' compensation law. And in Larson's, it talks about acts which minister to personal comfort. And it gives examples: eating, drinking, sleeping, resting, washing. It also gives smoking and seeking fresh air. These are acts that employees do in the course and scope of their employment, if they are in the course and scope of their employment, which Officer Lewicki was in this case, that basically benefit the employer. And that's really one of the keys to the personal comfort doctrine that brings it into arising out of their employment. This benefits the employer. By him eating on the job, it's benefiting his employer.
Let's assume that that's a good and fair statement of the doctrine itself. How do the facts of this case fit into the doctrine?
Certainly, Your Honor. In this case, Officer Lewicki is a police officer. He doesn't have a lunch break. He doesn't have a break like potentially lawyers do, if they do have a lunch break, or other people who work nine.
The law must have changed radically since I was there last.
Or someone who works 9 to 5, for example, who does have maybe a 1 hour lunch break to go out to lunch, have lunch, then come back. Those situations certainly are not acts that arise out of your employment when you're off the premises. In this case, Officer Lewicki's eating is part of his employment. I mean, it's an act that ministers to his employment. It's incidental to his employment. He doesn't have a chance to go out and have a lunch break and then come back in. He's in his police car at 3 in the morning doing work.
He had what at least I understand to be a congenital problem with his esophagus. Is that different than, let's say, for example, the hamburger that he was eating had a bone in it that got caught in a normal throat while he was in his police car wolfing down his lunch so he could get back to work as quickly as possible?
Sure.
Is there a distinction here between the nature of his physical problem and the personal comfort doctrine?
Your Honor, I don't believe that the distinction in his congenital condition should prevent him from receiving workers' compensation. In Delaware's well-settled law, as I believe everywhere is, that you take the claimant as you find them. Now, if you have a claimant who has a congenital condition and something wrong with them, here Officer Lewicki went to a physical. He was examined by his employer. He didn't even know about his congenital condition. It's something that he had that I'm sure it did cause a hamburger bit to be stuck in his throat, but Delaware law is well-settled as well, which is the Reese test, the but-for test. And but for him eating that hamburger and it getting caught in his throat, he wouldn't have had these injuries.
Okay, let's test that for a moment by changing the facts just so slightly. Let's assume that instead of a congenital throat problem, the police officer had an incipient brain aneurysm. It was something that was going to happen at some point in time. He didn't know about it, you know, it wasn't picked up in a normal physical examination. Case number one, the officer suffers a brain aneurysm while he's at home. Not compensable, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Case number two, officer suffers an aneurysm while he's eating a hamburger in his car, in his police car, while on the job. Compensable?
Not compensable.
Why not?
Because there isn't a specific event that caused him to have that brain aneurysm. And I believe you're referring to this.
Well, what was the specific event that caused the officer to suffer the injury that he suffered here?
Eating the hamburger bit was the cause that caused him to suffer this injury. If he wasn't eating the hamburger, he wouldn't have choked on anything, and he wouldn't have had these injuries. Whereas in your example, the brain aneurysm, that's just something that happened. There's nothing on the job that caused that to happen. In this case, he's eating a hamburger. If he didn't eat the hamburger, he wouldn't have gotten hurt that night. Now, he might have gotten hurt a week later. Maybe a week later he's eating a hamburger and it would have gotten stuck and he would have needed surgery.
If he had eaten the hamburger at home after, you know, off hours, would that be compensable?
It would not be, because he's not in the course and scope of his employment at the time of him eating the hamburger.
So the only relevant fact as far as your side is concerned is that he happened to be on the job when he suffered this injury that he would have suffered anyway.
That's basically correct. He happened to suffer this incident when he was on the job, in the course and scope, clearly in the course and scope of his employment. He's working at the time. Now, there may not have been anything particular within that course and scope of his employment that caused him to do this, but there was an event that accelerated his condition. That's the eating of the hamburger that got stuck in his throat. And there's a Supreme Court decision, which is the Blake versus State of Delaware case, that's really pretty much on point in regard to what you're talking about. And that's an employee who needed surgery in that case. And he didn't have the surgery done, but because of, you know, later on he needed the surgery, he got hurt at work and had the surgery performed.
And what's the rule of law that would justify the result you're asking us to reach?
I believe it's based on Delaware law, where there's a personal comfort doctrine, where there's eating and drinking brings these events that are incidental to your employment into arising out of your employment. And then there's a specific event, a but-for test, a specific event of eating that hamburger that caused him to choke on it and have these injuries.
But those are two separate concepts, aren't they?
They certainly are, yes.
I mean, in one case, he happens to be on the job, you know, when the injury takes place. And on the other, and the other concept is but-for being on the job, he wouldn't be injured.
They are two separate.
This case doesn't pass the but-for test, does it?
I believe it does, because but for him eating that hamburger bit, he wouldn't have choked.
But he could have been eating that hamburger at home. He could have been eating it at any time.
Your
He's eaten hamburgers in the past, presumably, and nothing happened. Just happened this time.
Your Honor, that's correct. And in the Blake case, which is Blake versus State of Delaware, there's actually it speaks directly on that. It says the appropriate legal standard for causation is not whether the surgery would ever have been required but for the accident. The proper legal standard is whether the surgery would have been required at that time but for the accident. So it's saying, you know, he might have choked on a hamburger but a week later.
That's not really a but-for test, is it? I mean, that may be the language that's used. But it doesn't really, it has nothing to do with but-for causation, does it?
I believe that it does. I think but-for an event that accelerated his condition on the job, and again, this acceleration was him eating the hamburger bit. If he didn't eat that hamburger bit, it would not have accelerated or caused him to need surgery at that particular moment. Now, a week later, 2 weeks later, potentially. But it didn't happen that way. In this specific case, eating is part of his job. He's in his car. He has to eat. It benefits his employer to eat, which is the personal comfort doctrine. And but for him eating, which is separate from the personal comfort doctrine, I don't want to confuse the two, but for him eating that hamburger bit, he wouldn't have choked at that time.
The Superior Court tend to suggest, at least as I read the opinion, that this case is similar to a person suffering a heart attack because of a congenital heart condition, but it happens while they're on the job, but that the job doesn't have any real contributing or triggering event. Why is the Superior Court view wrong?
Your Honor, I know the Superior Court's referring to the Bramble decision. And the Superior Court, when I read its decision, it seems to agree with the personal comfort doctrine and most of the principles that we outline. And then it gets to the very end of its decision and says, well, but in the Bramble case, someone had a heart attack, and we didn't say that was related. I think Bramble is significantly different and definitely distinguishable. I mean, Bramble, you have someone who had a heart attack, not on the job, not in the course of their employment, someone who was actually down fishing in one of the Delaware beaches, off the job, has a heart attack, then comes back to the job and has to retire early. So completely distinguishable. I'm not sure where the Superior Court completely changed their manner based on that decision. And someone comes back to the job in that Bramble decision, has to retire early, and really the discussion in that case is whether they should be able to get their pension. So much different than what we have here. As far as taking the claimant as you find him, I want to bring up one more case as well, and it's a Delaware Transit Corporation case versus Hamlin, also a Delaware case. In this case, the employee sustains an injury on the job, and he's working for a paratransit driver, and he's stepping up on a curve. He doesn't trip, he doesn't fall, he doesn't slip, he just feels a pop, or she feels a pop, in the back of her knee. And she needs surgery based on that. And the court held that notwithstanding the fact that the injury could have just as easily happened when the employee was not working, this Delaware court held that the injury still arose out of her employment. So I think that's another case that's pretty much right on point that says, you know, she could have gotten hurt 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. She didn't trip at work. Just in the back of her knee, something popped. She needed meniscus surgery. But that still happened on the job. And whether it happened two or 3 weeks later doesn't matter. This is when it happened. So there are a number of cases that seem to support the fact that, sure, you know, as Justice said, Your Honor said, it could have happened anywhere, but it didn't. It happened on this job. I want to stress also that there is some restrictions to this policy as far as being injured and having the accident being incidental to your work. Of course, we have eating and sleeping and drinking, and those are very important examples of that. But there are certainly some restrictions. If you go out for an hour for lunch and you come back, certainly that wouldn't be covered. That's not in the course and scope of your employment. Other examples as well, where, for example, someone who works in a firehouse and he spends breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the firehouse. He's a fireman. He's on call constantly, just like Officer Lewicki was on call at all times. It's part of their job to eat and sleep and to drink water. If you don't drink water, of course, you're not going to be able to function and perform your job. And if you're in the course and scope of your employment, like Officer Lewicki was, like someone in a firehouse would be if they're having breakfast, lunch, and dinner there, then certainly that should be covered if you choke on while you're drinking, you choke on something, or if you're eating something, you choke. I know that opposing counsel is going to bring up, well, there's a congenital condition here, but as I already discussed earlier, you take the claimant as you find them. If I can save the next 6 minutes or so for my rebuttal.
Certainly. Thank you,
Your Honor.
Mr. Chief Justice, Honorable Justices, Counsel, and may it please the Court, my name is Tabitha Castro and I represent Newcastle County. I'd like to recognize my co-counsel, Mr. Christopher Starr, Assistant County Attorney. As the appellant indicated, the main issue in this case is whether or not the injury that the appellant suffered arose out of his employment as a Newcastle County police officer. Newcastle County does concede that the appellant was in the course and scope of his employment when this unfortunate incident occurred. However, the arising out of and in the course and scope of employment are two separate and distinct requirements, both of which must be met in order for a claim of workers' compensation to attach under Delaware workers' compensation law, specifically Section 2304. I'd like to address the arising out of employment prong under Delaware law. It has to be associated with the origin of the accident or its cause. And in state, Storm v. Carl Mill, this court held that service to the employer must at least be a concurrent cause to the injury at hand. and Newcastle County submits that the origin in this case was the appellant's narrowed esophagus. The cause was his eating a hamburger and choking due to his narrow esophagus. There's nothing that the employer did that contributed to this injury.
Do you agree that he did not have a scheduled lunch or dinner break? He was supposed to eat on the job.
Yes, that is not in dispute.
So let's suppose someone with a perfectly healthy body, no defects at all, had choked. Would they get compensation?
Justice Holland, I believe it's going to be determinative on the other facts in the case. So the court has to look at the totality of the circumstances.
Well, my hypothetical are the exact same facts of this case, except no one with a problem with their esophagus. Would they receive compensation?
I would say the answer is no. Compensation would not attach in this case because looking at the arising out of prong, there was nothing that a police officer in your scenario did or nothing that Newcastle County was obligated for a police officer to do caused or accelerated or exacerbated. For example, there was no one who knocked on his police car seeking assistance. No one radioed him for help. He was not en route to criminal activity that was in progress. He was not in the act, in your scenario and in the instant case, of policing, actively engaged in policing that would further Newcastle County's interests. And I'd also like to address...
So what you're saying is, even if you don't get a lunch or dinner break, and eating on the job, continually being on the job is part of your job description, there's no circumstance under which you can recover for some choking incident unless you are doing something in the line of duty, as you say, like chasing someone.
Actually, yes, Your Honor. In order to fulfill that prong of arising out of employment, the injury, you have to look at the origin and the cause. So unless there was something on the part of the employment that the police officer was performing, no, it would not be a compensable case.
What does that do to the personal comfort doctrine? How would that apply?
Well, the personal comfort doctrine in Bedwell can be distinguished by the instant case. And the pivotal difference in that case, we can see, yes, the police officer in this case can be considered a traveling employee. Newcastle County allows their police officers to have lunch breaks at their convenience. However, in this case, there was the issue of having a congenital narrowed esophageal web condition, or what other physicians have termed a webbed throat condition. That's the pivotal difference in this case. And another difference is that it can be said in Bedwell that but for Bedwell going to work that day, going to Burger King to get his lunch, leaving Burger King and slipping and falling or injuring his back and his knee, he would never have had these injuries. The but-for standard applies to the Bedwell case, and it does not apply to the instant case.
Well, I'm a little confused. If I understood what was going on in this case, I'm not convinced I do now. What Newcastle County service or what employer service was the plaintiff or claimant in Bedwell performing when he slipped and fell leaving the Burger King?
The service is he's furthering his employer's interests, Mr. Chief Justice, because it's in the employer's best interest to allow an employee the convenience of having a lunch break when en route to from one job, from one cleaning carpet job to another.
Right.
It's in the employer's best interest to allow the employee to have that convenience. I'd also like to distinguish the Blake...
But that same rationale applies to this case, doesn't it? I mean,
yes.
Wasn't it in the employer's interest to have the police officer here have lunch?
Yes.
He didn't even stop at a Burger King. He was having lunch in his car.
He was, and he had previously stopped at McDonald's for a quarter pounder and French fries. Appellant in his opening brief indicates that the distinct functions of a police officer for Newcastle County involve patrolling the area, responding to complaints, or observing criminal activity.
Well, if I understand what you're saying, if this police officer fell down walking in to order the sandwich he later choked on, he would be compensated for falling down going in to order the sandwich, but not for choking on it later. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Great. Now, tell us why that seems to make sense.
That makes sense, Your Honor, because it would be in the employer's best interest or furthering the employer's interest to allow the police officer the convenience of going into the McDonald's at his convenience while he's patrolling areas, for example, getting his lunch, and then he slipped and fell. That is the same scenario as in the Bedwell case. However, in the Bedwell case, there was no pre-existing congenital esophageal web condition.
What I'm trying to take out of the equation so I can see how, first, what the rule of law is you're articulating, and second, how we apply it. So why is the condition relevant? Because from what you told me, whether you had the condition or not, nobody's going to recover for choking on a sandwich while you're eating in your police car. Is that correct?
If you look at the totality of the circumstances and depending on the facts, if it can be argued that something that the employee did arose out of his employment, meaning the origin and the cause of the accident, then it can be deemed.
I'm talking about the situation we have here where Newcastle County says we want you on the job your entire shift. We realize you might have to eat. You can certainly get some food, take it with you, and eat it, but we want you to be on the job 100% of the time. Here we have an officer sitting in his car doing paperwork, eating simultaneously, all of which is directed by the employer that you're not supposed to, you know, kind of check out, so to speak. You're supposed to eat, and yet, while you're eating your lunch while you work at the employer's request, if you choke, you're saying, even if your condition is normal, that's not compensable.
And yet,
if you walked in to pick up your lunch and you fell down, it is compensable. I'm having trouble following that distinction.
I think that when you refer to the employee checking out, I think the facts of this case are relevant because he did drive to a secluded area. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. There was no physical act of policing that he was performing. Yes, it was in the new...
He wasn't doing his paperwork. Didn't I read in the record he was in his car with his screen on, filling out paperwork while he ate?
That's correct. He was filling out paperwork, but Newcastle County submits that that is not enough.
That's not police work.
It is not enough, as the appellant in his own opening brief indicated, that the functions of a police officer involved, as I indicated, patrolling the area, observing criminal activity, doing police work while you're sitting in a police cruiser eating a hamburger is not enough to satisfy the arising out of prong in order to get workers' compensation benefits.
You're not suggesting to us that the rule should be you don't get compensated if you're injured while you're doing paperwork.
No, sir, I'm not.
But isn't the arising out of prong more applicable to the fact that this was a congenital problem rather than it was a police officer sitting, and it must not be on the wall of the Newcastle County Police Department, but there used to be a phrase called, he also serves who stands and waits. So this is an officer that's on duty in his police car, ready presumably for action at any moment. But what caused his injury was a congenital problem that was totally unrelated to his employment. Isn't that what the arising out of employment means here?
Yes, Mr. Chief Justice, it is. And Newcastle County submits that it would be unjust and unfair to have an employer bear the costs of a congenital condition. If at the time of this incident, nothing the employee did furthered the employer's interests.
So. Under the rule that you're asking us to adopt, assuming the same facts, except that instead of choking on a hamburger, the police officer tripped and fell in front of the McDonald's before he bought the hamburger, unless that happened, or unless the officer, while sitting in his car, choked on the hamburger but did not have a congenital condition, there would be no recovery.
That's correct, sir.
So it's the only critical fact, that is the fact that's critical to your argument, is that the injury here, which is the choking, is attributable to the congenital throat problem.
That's correct, sir. And had the facts been different in this case, if someone did knock on his police cruiser, if he was in pursuit of a suspect and then choked,
Why would that matter? If he was in pursuit of a suspect, he had the same congenital throat condition. and chokes on the hamburger while he's in pursuit, why would that make a difference legally?
I think, sir, the appellant would have a stronger argument because it could be said under those facts that he was actively engaged in policing. But that is not the facts as they are before you.
So, as I understand your position, if he was answering a radio call, talking with his mouth full and choked, it would be compensable.
Yes.
But even if he wasn't talking with his mouth full, but was simply chewing while driving at 70 miles an hour to catch whoever it was that he was chasing, that would be compensable.
Yes. I'd like to distinguish the Blake case in this scenario. The appellant used the Blake case to argue that but for him choking that night, he would not have needed the surgery that evening on, I believe it was New Year's Eve. But the Blake case, we have to look at the other circumstances in the Blake case. In Blake, it was a volunteer firefighter that was in the pursuit of attempting to put out a fire. And with the Blake case, you can say, but for him running into a burning building, he would not have injured his knee, necessitating right knee surgery. You cannot say the same for this case. In Blake, the but-for cause standard of causation applied. In Blake, his injuries arose out of his employment. And in Blake, he was also in the course and scope of his employment. I believe that the appellant also misstates the Bramble case that Judge Hurley he used below. In Bramble, it was a state police officer that suffered a heart attack while he was fishing. And his injuries were deemed compensable because it was held that the stress and the overwork from being a police officer caused him to have a heart attack, even though he was fishing at the time.
So if this court were to rule the way that you're contending that we should, what would be the rule of law that we would apply to this case?
The rule of law, Justice Jacobs, would be that if an employee has a congenital condition, either a congenital esophageal web condition or a congenital heart condition, that must be a circumstance in determining whether or not, if they suffer an injury, the injury is related to their employment.
Must be a circumstance, or is the critical circumstance?
Is the critical and pivotal circumstance, I think, to consider whether or not they had or were born with a condition. Yes, in the Lipscomb case, it's a Superior Court case, you take the claimant as you find him. And yes, the eggshell theory is a good theory in most cases, but not in this case, Your Honors. It's not a good case because we have to look at the other factors, the arising out of factors, the but-for factors, course and scope factors.
Well, in ordinary tort law, the rule that you take the plaintiff as you find them would apply here, and there would be an entitlement to seek compensation. Correct?
That's correct.
So if there is no entitlement in this case, it's because there's some statutory policy that would rule out the take the plaintiff as you find him doctrine.
That's correct.
What exactly is the statutory policy?
Well, as this court is well aware, Delaware workers' compensation law is very distinct in this case than in other cases. And the appellant would have this court rely on out-of-state case law from Oregon and South Carolina to attempt to support its claim. And first, I'd like to ask and state that...
My question is, what is the statutory policy?
The statutory policy would be, as stated previously, if an employee has a congenital condition and they are injured on the job because of that congenital condition, it is not a compensable workers' compensation.
That's the rule of law. But I'm asking what statutory policy compels that when, under a common law tort principle, you always take into account the plaintiff as you find him or her.
The statutory policy that would apply in the state of
yes,
Delaware?
Yes, that would rule out the ability to take into consideration who the plaintiff is and what warts and all come with them.
I think if this case is reversed, for example, it would essentially be applying a strict liability standard against the employer, essentially saying, if a police officer is on duty, if he's in his uniform, if he's injured at home, and just because he's in his uniform, he's entitled to workers' compensation benefits. And I would state that the strict liability standard does not apply in this case, in workers' comp, or in personal injury.
if the officer had a heart condition and was fishing, not on the job, there would be compensation, correct? You yourself cited the case to us.
Yes, only if and only because the cumulative stress of his job and his overwork caused the heart attack. So causation is a key difference in this case. This is an issue of first impression, Your Honors, in this case, because this case involved a congenital condition, that a reasonable person would not deem workers' compensation related. The appellant has not met his burden proving that an element of the work condition exacerbated or aggravated the underlying congenital condition. And because of that, he fails on the arising out of prong. Again, Newcastle County concedes that he was in the course and scope of his employment. He was in his police cruiser at the time. He did drive to a secluded location at Del Castle Recreational Park, and then he began to eat his hamburger. Where the evidence is adequate to support the Industrial Accident Board's conclusions below, its decisions should not be disturbed absent an error of law. And in this case, the appellant could not find any errors of law in the Industrial Accident Board decisions below, in Judge Herlihy's decision in the Superior Court, and because of that, his argument must fail once again. Now, while there may be sympathy on behalf of Officer Lewicki in this case, this does not equate to a claim for workers' compensation benefits. There is no contributing stress. There is no contributing trauma.
Ms. Castro, I'm confused about one thing. I thought the issue in the case was whether the injury here arose out of the course and scope of employment. You conceded that it did. The other side argues that it did also. So are you passing by ships in the night?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm conceding that he was in the course and scope of his employment, but his injuries did not arise out of his employment as a Newcastle County police officer. I apologize if I misspoke. We have to also look at the but-for standard of proximate cause to be used in this case. This is a standard that's used in fixing the relationship between an acknowledged industrial accident and its aftermath. Under State v. Steen, where there is an identifiable industrial accident, the compensability of any resultant injury must be determined exclusively by an application of the but-for standard of proximate causation. And in this case, Newcastle County submits that the appellant fails in the but-for standard as well. It fails in the but-for standard of proximate causation, and it fails in the arising out of prong. The elements have not been met under Delaware law, and because of that, we respectfully ask that you affirm the decisions below.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, in response, I don't feel this is an issue of first impression. I think the law's already been somewhat settled in Delaware on many of the issues. I think just the law's being misapplied in this case. We already have the law in Delaware that you take the claimant as you find them, and that's already the law. I'm not sure how you would change it for this specific case just to say, well, if someone has a congenital condition, it's not going to apply in this case, but it's going to apply in every other case. And if someone has a pre-existing back injury, you're going to say, well, they already have some other pre-existing problem. We're not going to take that into account if they get hurt. Clearly, under workers' comp, that is taken into account. If someone's born with
Mr. Kimmel, sure. Let's suppose your position prevails, but in the next case, we have a police officer who's eating and gets food poisoning. Is that going to be compensable?
I believe that it is compensable, yes.
And why would that be?
Well, it's someone that, first of all, eating under the personal comfort doctrine brings into part of the job. He's eating. And, of course, the facts would have to be that it's, you know, he doesn't have a lunch break, it's part of his job, he has to eat. And then in addition to that, but for him eating that food, he wouldn't have gotten food poisoning.
So your position is if your job requires you to eat while you work and something happens to you during the course of eating, whether or not you have a pre-existing condition, it's compensable.
That is correct. That is correct. If you're eating, and you have to eat, your job requires you to eat, like a police officer or a fireman. Now, certainly someone you know, who's working a 9-to-5 job who goes out to lunch for an hour, who chokes on something at lunch, would not be compensable. First of all, they wouldn't even be in the course and scope of their employment.
And in your view, this is all part of the personal comfort doctrine.
Well, in my view, the personal comfort doctrine brings eating and drinking into arising out of your employment. Of course, you have to be in the course and scope of your employment as well. And if you're out at lunch or you're at home, you're in the middle of the day, you're not in the course and scope of your employment, certainly you're not covered.
So it arises out of your employment because it's something your employer requires you to do, that is, eat on the job.
That's correct. It's part of your job. A police officer doesn't have time to go home and grab a sandwich and then come back. It's part of his job to eat. And while he's eating, it's something he has to do. He's required. I mean, no one's forcing him, putting a gun to his head and saying, you have to eat, it's part of your job. But if he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he doesn't breathe, of course he's not going to be able, he's benefiting his employer, he's not going to be able to carry out his job.
Mr. Kendall, let me ask it a little bit differently and be candid and tell you where I am still stumped. If there is a but-for cause test, isn't what the IAB actually said that the job requirements that the police officer had were not a cause of the food impaction? They were the cause of the circumstances that caused him to eat in the police car while doing paperwork or not, just as it caused Bedwell to be in the Burger King and slipping when he got out. But the impaction itself was caused by a congenital problem. It wasn't caused by any circumstance connected with his job requirements. Isn't that really what the IAB said and what the Superior Court affirmed?
I think that is what the IAB said, and I think they misapplied the but-for test.
Well, tell me why that but-for sure. test applied in that fashion is an error of law.
I think it's an error of law because they're applying the but-for test to a congenital condition or a condition that the person had and saying, well, if he didn't have that congenital condition, he might not have choked, which is speculative, but he might not have choked on that food.
Well, I don't want to go off on a tangent, sure. But it's really not speculative based on this record. Both your medical expert and the defense's medical expert said there was nothing about what happened to him that directly resulted from a job requirement.
I think the but-for test should have been applied, but for him not eating that hamburger bit, he wouldn't have choked on it. It shouldn't be but for his congenital condition or a pre-existing condition or but for someone who's on the job who has a pre-existing back condition, he wouldn't have hurt his back. I don't think you can look at it that way. You have to say but for the activity on that job, notwithstanding that pre-existing injury.
Why isn't that a rule of fortuity that's tantamount to strict liability?
I believe it's a law that's used in pretty much every single workers' compensation case where pre-existing conditions and conditions that you go into your employment with are taken into account, and their employer is still held accountable and still compensable for workers' compensation issues. I mean, just because he has a congenital condition or someone has a pre-existing back condition doesn't mean, well, now they can't get workers' compensation law because but for that injury, they wouldn't be able to, they would be fine. They wouldn't have gotten injured. And they could say, but for the accident on the job, but for Officer Lewicki eating that hamburger bit, he wouldn't have been injured.
So by analogy, you're saying if an employer requires you to pick up an item that would otherwise be easy for everyone to do, but you have a pre-existing condition, but that job requirement causes you an injury that would cause no one else an injury, it's the same as saying we're requiring everyone to eat on the job. And the fact that most people can accomplish that successfully doesn't mean that the employer's not liable if because of your pre-existing condition you cannot.
That's correct. That's correct. A pre-existing disease or infirmity, whether overt or latent, does not disqualify a claim for workers' compensation if the employment aggravated, accelerated, or in combination with the infirmity produced a disability. And here it's aggravated.
Are you quoting a case or are those your words?
No, I am quoting a case. I'm sorry. And that's, I believe, the Lipscomb versus Damiani case. I believe it's also in Delaware Transit as well.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, counsel. We'll recess and take the case under advisement.